We will be kind of exploring the good news according to Abram. We're really kind of, in looking at Abram, really kind of asking the question of what is God's mission in this world, and what does it mean to walk by faith? What does that look like? So in Abram's very fertile grounds for exploring those questions, so we'll look at some of those this morning through Genesis 13. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Lot looked up and saw the whole plain of Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt towards Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, "Lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south, east and west. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." So Abram moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. People of God are seen here in this passage. Abram is putting some serious mileage on his body. Being called out of Ur, stopping over in Haran for a while, heading into the promised land, wandering around a bit, dropping into Egypt, and now coming back up into the promised land. Even after the misstep of going into Egypt, Abram departs Egypt having lost nothing, and maybe even gaining as he left Egypt, as verse 2 says that he had become very wealthy. And here in the second chapter, dealing with Abram, I get a strong sense of homelessness. It's like he is continually moving. He is in this land that God has promised to him and his descendants, yet it also strangely and acutely feels unfulfilled. Right? The little interlude that precipitates the key part of our passage. There is not enough vegetation for Lot's and Abram's flocks. They are quarreling, which is not good. And furthermore, the Canaanites and Perizzites are also living in the land, meaning this is no time for a civil war. Opportunists who would be happy to take advantage of a weakened Abram and Lot. This is to be his home. This is his land. Yet he is also strangely homeless. Is there any sense of this resonating with you? Do you truly feel at home in this world? as though you have fully arrived. There is a very interesting word here in our passage that gets used on three very important occasions. Now, words are so incredibly important in the Hebrew tradition, is what has been passed on to us as Christians as well. I mean, that is why we have our Bible, the Word of God. That's why everything was written on scrolls in the Jewish tradition. Words, language matters so incredibly much. And these are the particular words God has chosen to reveal Himself to us in. And the particular word I want to note here is the Hebrew word nasa, used three times as this passage develops. Nasa means to lift up or to bear. And the first comes in verse 6. The land could not bear Abram and Lot together. Abram left Egypt heavy, weighty with possessions, so heavy that the land could not bear, could not sustain both his flocks and Lot's flocks in the same area. This is a problem. Scarcity and famine drove Abram to Egypt in the previous chapter. Now abundance is provoking a new problem. Abram and Lot decide to part company and spread out, to begin filling the land as God commanded humanity to do in Genesis 1. So this problem need not lead to disaster, but rather a further walking out and into God's will. But it does lead to disaster, as we see further on throughout the Genesis narrative and the story of Lot. Our second nasa, Lot lifts up his eyes, surveys the land, sees bounty and beauty off to the east, and takes that for himself. Warning bells are resounding in these verses, Lot lifting up his eyes to take. Eve, Adam, Cain, the flood, the Tower of Babel, that cycle of sin and rebellion. No, not again. Lot lifts up his eyes and is transfixed by what he sees off in the east. It is unclear in the text whether this land, these plains of Zoar, are actually outside the promised land. But that murkiness is likely intentional to say that by choosing this destination, Lot is in fact leaving the promised land and removing himself from Abram, which in a very raw and real way is saying that he is removing himself from God's mission to the world. And the hints for the hearer, the reader, are there. The place is well watered, looks incredibly livable and sustainable. Life would be easy there. There would not be so much toil, so much worry about the future. Are you picturing at all any of our modern day enticing images of the good life? It looks like the land of Egypt. Hold up. It looks like the land of Egypt. Egypt is never a good place for a Jew to be. Egypt had such negative connotations in the Hebrew mind, a place of suffering, oppression, enslavement. And yet, strangely at times, in their wilderness journeys, it was also a place they longed to return. When the vision forward gets lost, it seems too difficult. When homelessness feels acutely strong, Egypt was the rose-colored glasses that were often put on by the Israelites. Ah, remember how we had food and shelter in Egypt. Job security. Those were good times. This is the beginning of Lot's tragic story. Lot lifted up his eyes, saw, and took. Where is our security? When our vision forward gets lost, seems too difficult, when homelessness feels acutely strong, what are the rose-colored glasses that we put on? Lot looked to the immediacy of the lush land and the community of the cities that were there. Good, easy land to live off of, a community of like-minded individuals to give security, to numb a sense of homelessness. Are we so different, I wonder? We are a culture that avoids suffering and pain. Much of how our lives are fashioned, how our government is run, is to minimize pain and suffering. And those are certainly noble tasks, noble pursuits. That even seems to be the law of the black market. Numb pain, numb suffering, numb homelessness. The church used to be the center of every village and city. What is it now? Hospitals and commerce. Even on an individual basis, what is the rhythm of our lives? Is it our virtual selves? Maybe it's our reason for working. Maybe our schooling pursuits. What is it we are actually looking for when we do the things that take up most of our lives? Are we at all trying to numb a sense of loneliness, of homelessness, that we were in fact meant to struggle with? Do you feel alone? Do you feel lost in the cosmos? What do we place our security in? Abram says goodbye to Lot. Lot departs. And Abram is standing there. God says to Abram, Nasa, Abram, lift up your eyes. All the land you see, I will give forever. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land. Abram's life is based on the promises of God. It is walking faith for the homeless man. Yeah, he fell in Egypt in verse 12. In chapter 12. And yes, he is going to fall again as the narrative continues. But the trajectory of his life, the orientation of his life, is to walk by faith. How? Because his security is in the promises of God. That is why Abram can offer Lot any portion of the land. It has all been freely given to Abram. In turn, Abram wants to bring Lot in on this. Have Lot be blessed through Abram. Look at all this land before us. Which way would you like to go? Abram's faith gives him the freedom to be generous. It gives him the freedom to be generous. Lot, come into this space of blessing with me. Join me in seeking the city that God is building here in the promised land. He can freely give the land to Lot. Welcome Lot into the land because his security, his faith is strongly and firmly in God. Faith has freed Abram. Because his trust, his security is ultimately in God's promises to him. Lot did not have that trust in God, or Abram for that matter, and he goes his own disastrous way. Nasa, what do we lift our eyes up to? In a confused and lonely world, where do we look for security? Can our families, work, communities truly, truly alleviate our sense of homelessness? God proclaims to us all, Nasa, lift up your eyes. Look around. Walk through the length and breadth of what God is giving us. The land was the beginning. The land was the promise. The working out of God's mission to the world through Abram and his descendants. But we have been given so much more. God's mission to bless the world and undo the curse came to fulfillment in Jesus Christ as he bore the curse on the cross to free us from its grip, the light to the nations. So our security, our trust, is in Christ's righteousness, his work for us. Christ, the perfectly spotless, the just one, and he gave his life for the life of the world. And in taking up his life, the resurrection, he gives his merit to us. He brings us into resurrection country. His righteousness, his right relatedness, or perfect communion with the Father, he gives all of us freely. Though we wrestle with homelessness, insecurity, self-rejection, we are given this perfect communion with the Father freely. And so, children of God, we have been made. Romans 4 says that against all hope, Abram in hope believed. He did not waver in unbelief regarding the promise of God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. Are you fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he promises? That as Abram was promised the promised land and given that freely, that we have been freely brought into, given this space of blessing, this resurrection country from which to live our lives. In the name and the power of Jesus, by the Spirit's work in us, do you see how you've been brought? Do you believe that? That you've been brought as a participant into God's inbreaking kingdom in this world? Lift up your eyes to God's promises to you. Now here I'm not wanting to say at all that the world is bad and that we need to escape, and I hope that sense is not getting across here. For the theme I'm really looking at is expectation. Expectation. For what I am saying, what I believe the Bible is highlighting here and throughout, is that we cannot really live in this world. We can exist, we can be here, we can do things, but we cannot really live in this world until we know how homeless we are in it. Until we realize that our real security is in Christ. That the greatest unseen reality of this world is a person. And that person is the risen and glorified Jesus who clothes us in his righteousness. Unless we understand that, unless we are called to lift our eyes to that, we will never see clearly in this world. We will never see the present moment for what it truly is. Our circumstances change. We fret over money, jobs, our past, ourselves, our health. But the circumstance of our forgiveness does not change, is not affected by our circumstances. Our feelings are shaped and affected by the weather, by levels of stress, by other external or internal factors. But the good news is not that fickle. The good news is constant and steadfast and grows in us. These are the promises that shape our lives. Where we place our trust, that is what we worship. This is something worth trusting. That Christ has done it all for you. That His grace is indeed enough. That He is making His joy your joy. This is something to walk into. This gives spaciousness to life. As Paul would write in Ephesians, to grasp, to explore how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. A home for the wayfarers. Lift up your eyes to the totality of the gospel. How it touches everything in your life. How it changes how we view work, how it changes how we deal with money, how it changes how we view ourselves, how we view our past, how we view our future, and how it changes our present. There is not a single area, nook, or cranny in our lives that can escape the light of the gospel. The future is secure, and it is breaking into our present. Let us be a community of a witness, a community that stands in these promises of God, that in Him there is blessing, in Him there is healing, and it is for the life of the world. Amen. Shall we pray? Our good God, we thank You for Your rich gifts, Your rich blessings over our lives, for this land You have brought us into, Your kingdom, resurrection country. We pray that You may root our trust in Your promises, that You may root our trust in You, Lord Jesus. That it is in fact here, it is in fact breaking into this world. And that You have brought us into it to live in it and to call others into it. In times of persecution, in times of suffering, in times when our wanderings and homelessness just feels so confusing, steady us in Your promises, Lord, knowing that You are the God who is for us. You are the God who works for us. And Christ, Your ministry was not limited to this earth 2,000 years ago, but continues as You work in each and every one of us to this very day. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.